live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from the Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 253. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined momentarily by my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong. Big show this evening. We've got NBA playoffs. The brackets continue to play out. The games continue to play out. Exciting series. The NBA playoffs are continuing. So we've got NBA playoffs to talk tonight. We've got NFL draft. The NFL draft is tomorrow night. So we've got plenty to talk about the draft as well as the Indianapolis Colts. Colts currently have the fourth overall pick in tomorrow night's draft. So we'll talk a little NFL draft, where we see the Indianapolis Colts, as well as your other favorite teams in the league. So we'll join that as well. We also have Danny Bridges joining us tonight around 7:30. We'll be talking racing with him, IndyCar, NASCAR, and more. This weekend, IndyCar is over in Alabama, and then they will be coming back to Indianapolis for the Indy Grand Prix and the month of May at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway with the Indy 500 at the end of the month. So all that and more, taking your calls as always. My co-host, John Birdsong, JB, how are you?
Doing just fine, man. Am I coming in crystal clear?
For now, yes.
All right, man. That's good to know, man. It's good to know, man. Nah, man. Glad to be back. Talk a little sports tonight, man. I know I just heard the rundown of the show, man. Where would you like to start?
Yeah, let's dive right into the NBA. Let's talk NBA. Give me 1 second here. I'm bringing up my bracket so I can get a heat. All right, first off, let's go Miami Heat, Milwaukee Bucks. Excuse me. The 8-seed Miami Heat lead 3-1. Giannis came back. It didn't matter. Jimmy Butler went out and put a 50-burger on Milwaukee tonight, 9:30. Yep. By the way, tonight might be one of the best nights of NBA basketball I've seen in a really long time. All four games. Just saying.
All four games. You think so?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You have the defending champs. I think you picked this. I think you picked the Bucks to come out of the East, if not win the title, I believe.
I did. That was without a major injury, but like we looking at a major. I mean, Bucks are looking at a major injury. But go ahead.
Oladipo being out. Yeah, that'll be a big one. Well, you've got the Heat and Bucks tonight. You've got the New York Knicks and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Knicks lead 3-1 in that series. That's a huge pivotal game. Game 5 in Cleveland. Also tonight, you have at 7:30, which is going to start here in a half hour. I'm going to have to throw it on during our game. The Lakers and Ja Morant and the Grizzlies, Lakers up 3-1, and I've watched those games, and we'll talk about that. Ja Morant, what type of jaw you're going to get. I saw your post last night, I believe, with Ja. Ja was a no-show in the fourth, and it might have been because I needed him to outscore LeBron for a bet, but he just no-showed there in the fourth quarter tonight. So we've got that one, and then the nightcap this evening, Kings, Warriors, Game 5, 2v2. De'Aaron Fox, game time decision, but it sounds like he's going to play. So that's going to end your nightcap tonight and then go straight into tomorrow. Only one NBA game tomorrow because the NFL draft, but that'll be the Celtics and the Hawks in Atlanta. Celtics could have put the game away. Yeah, just put the series away, get rested up for Philly because that's going to be a brutal series. Instead, they're going to have to play around with Atlanta. Boston will probably win tomorrow night. They can even win Game 7, but you don't want to play around and go to a Game 7 ever. So, but just let's dive right into it, John. Bucks, Heat, they play tonight at 9:30. Bucks and Heat, your thoughts? The Heat lead 3-1. No Depot, another grueling injury, and Giannis came back. Did average, I think he had a double-double in his comeback.
Yeah, it was a game that mostly the Bucks led for the most part of the game and even got up double digits in the third quarter. But it's not like it's essentially, man, this is an age-old thing with the NBA, man. They took the foot off the pedal, man, and didn't put the Miami Heat away. And when you leave a little bit of life in a team like the Miami Heat, it was more than just Jimmy Butler. He was just the catalyst, but he was the big part. I want to make that clear because like they had other complementary parts. You know what I'm saying? A steal here, a block here. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? That all helps. But like Jimmy Butler, he definitely kept them in it from a scoring perspective. I want to make totally clear about that. So it's a game that has put the Milwaukee Bucks. You know what I'm saying? It's not necessarily something they haven't done before, though, Brandon. Like, they got to win a game at home, and then, like, they won three-fourths of the game in Miami. So they're a different team. We know this with or without Giannis. They do have, you know what I'm saying, a good, you know what I'm saying, when you talk about Uncle Drew Holiday and what he can do, and Chris Middleton and what he can do on a basketball court. But, you know what I'm saying, Giannis is the X factor. Giannis is the X, and he's the everything factor for them, not just the X factor. So you can't replicate what Giannis can do. It's a game that if they play it, you know what I'm saying, nine more times, they win nine more times. But, you know, here we are. They're up against the wall, man. I got them still going to seven, though, Brandon. I got them forcing it to seven. I know as crazy as that sounds, like how could they win three straight? If Giannis is out there, they can win three straight. That's how good of a team connected-wise this team, this group has been put together, right? But they can't have, you know what I'm saying, mental lapses where, you know, they take their foot off the gas and let turnovers or let the crowd, you know what I'm saying, kind of get into it. They played against crowd noises before, man.
About Jimmy Butler? Somebody's got to guard Butler. He could explode again.
Well, yeah, Jimmy Butler, like I said, Jimmy Butler went wild, man. You have to, but Giannis has to go wild, too. Like I said, if Giannis is better, it's better than, I know it's crazy, Giannis's best is better than Jimmy Butler. So, like, what happened? The third, I get it, man. But if you, again, he's coming off injury, like, I get it. But, like, if you out there, he's out there. Like, so I think they'll get the best effort. They won't lose in Milwaukee, right? But I think they force a game seven. I really do. As far as some of the other, you know what I'm saying?
Bucks are 6-11 all time in the playoffs against the Heat. 6-11.
Okay.
second game.
That, like, man, the longer it goes, though, man, Jimmy Butler's going to get tired, man. And, like,
everybody's going to get tired, I think.
Well, no, listen. No. Like, if you pay attention, though, Brandon, like, once he gets, like, done, like, what else do they have? They have nothing else. They have nothing else in the gas tank.
Yeah.
So, as long as this team, the Bucks are going to extend this to seven. Trust me.
Okay. Celtics and Hawks. Celtics lead 3-2. Hawks won last night.
Oh, my goodness.
119-117. Trae Young with the most overrated player in the NBA with his shot to win the game. For Atlanta, his celebration, I guess you could celebrate, I guess, after that. But, I mean, you're already down 3-1, so you should just, I don't know. Anyways, they didn't have DeJounte Murray because he bumped the referee, so he'll be back for the next game. I'm not saying the Celtics are threatened to lose in this series, but you'd like a couple – you'd have liked to get this series over with and start early with Joel Embiid's injury.
Right. What turned into what should have been a sweep after game one. Everybody was claiming sweep because it looked like the Atlanta Hawks. Brandon, there still was time. There were still people in the press talking about how Atlanta's going to go have to, you know what I'm saying, have a change of pace in the offseason.
Yeah.
I still think it's 60-40. I still think it's 60-40 on that, whether it's Trae Young kind of stays there or not with the new regime. You know what I'm saying, that they have in Quinn Snyder,
right,
head coach. But like, I don't know, Brandon. Like, I get, like, he was just, like, can't you just say he was off game one and game two? And, like, now he's back on, man. Brandon, it's going to get real kooky, man, if this gets extended to seven games. And I don't know. I don't trust Atlanta. I trust Boston to put away Atlanta, you know, put them to bed. But you're absolutely right. They do not want to. I'm calling for Boston to win, but they do not want to get into a game seven for what with this team, with this inferior team who kind of wants to move on from their All Star.
Yeah, and I'm not sure with the coach for the Celtics. Somebody asked me what team I thought was better last year's Celtics with Udoka or.
Uh-huh.
Or the new coach. And I had to say the intensity and stuff, I felt like it was last year's team. Also, as the Eastern Conference playoffs go on, I don't know how much you can trust still. I don't trust a Jason Tatum. I don't. I'm sorry. He's a superstar player. He went to Duke. I should love him. But there's just something about him. I think we've talked about it in the past where he's just a little full of himself, I think, too much, that he hasn't really – because he kind of laid an egg in the finals last year, if you remember.
And Jalen Brown couldn't hold – they couldn't – turnovers killed him. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
poor I don't know.
I like last year's Celtics team a lot better. Whoever wins that series is going to get the 76ers, John. They swept the Brooklyn Nets, which we all thought would be – thoughts on Philly – as they go into this next round?
Thoughts on Philly, they took care of business. Played a team that's still trying to figure out its identity in Brooklyn. A lot of great pieces, man. If you're a team that needs the power forward, you're thinking about, oh, man, I was going to trade. How can we get that piece from – how can we get Cam Johnson from Brooklyn? If you're a team like the Pacers that's covered in a small forward, you're thinking like, man, what's it going to take to get Mikal Bridges? You know what I mean? Because – excuse me. I don't think nobody – the team situation in Brooklyn is always – last 4 years, teams has been fluid. It's been fluid. Has not – Caris LeVert was one time Brooklyn Net. You know what I mean? So they have players that we already know what happened with Harden and Durant and Kyrie Irving. And how many times is – oh, my God, was he playing – yeah, he's back with him. I can't remember his name right now, point guard. Got into a little trash conversation. But anyway, point is, like, man, Brooklyn's always fluid with their roster. So, like, you can't even tell me who's the all-time greatest Brooklyn Net, you know what I mean, outside of, like, Jason Kidd, right? But, so, like, that roster's always fluid. I don't know if that is the future roster that they have. Like, I don't know, Brad, you know what I mean? But, like, you kind of got to love what Philadelphia did. They took care of business, man. James Harden looked good. Joel Embiid looked good. You know what I mean? Some of the games you was wondering, like, why Doc Rivers got him in the game. Because, like, dude, like, this is well in control. Like, you don't need him in here. You know his health issues, right? And their reserve players look good. But, again, like I said, they're playing Brooklyn. They're playing a team that doesn't have a superstar. Now, you know, saying they got some great, great value pieces, great guys that could probably be at some point, maybe even all stars, right? Multi year all stars, but like no superstar on that particular team, man. So it was like easy picking for them. It was like a shame if they didn't sweep. You know what I mean? So gone fishing, right, for Brooklyn. They got a bunch of draft picks. You know what I'm saying? In the next two seasons, they got to figure it out. They also got a deal, right, with homie Ben Simmons' contract. They got to figure that, you know, his basketball, if he's going to play or not, if he wants to play, right, they got to figure that out. But, you know, future's bright in Brooklyn if guys want to stay. It's just that, like, right now they didn't have a superstar to go dueling with or Joel Embiid or James Harden. Again, this is good rest it's good rest, but you know what I'm saying, you kind of want to keep James Harden playing, right? You know what I'm saying? He still looks a little too thick to be a basketball player,
nah,
man.
He's good.
And like
he's good.
Say,
Flip Harden.
He's looked well, yeah.
He's
Flip Harden, but he looks good. He played well, you know what I'm saying, in this theory. And again, Philadelphia should feel good because Milwaukee is in a flux with Giannis being in and out of the lineup, and Boston is having a struggle putting away the Hawks, man. So they should feel good about their position right now.
New York Knicks, Cleveland Cavaliers, Game 5 is happening right now, tie ball game. How surprised are you that the Knicks are up 3-1? I'm a little surprised.
Very surprised.
But they've played a great team ball.
Yeah, very surprised, man. So it wasn't because they flamed out so hard last season, and we all thought Tibbs was on the hot seat, right, on his way out again from another organization. He's a quality coach, but again, sometimes it's just redundant. People are tired; they get tired of hearing the same voice, right? You know what I'm saying? But again, if he got fired, he'd be hired, you know, saying a split second the next day because he's kind of respected like that in locker rooms and with players. I'm surprised, man, because I remember I would call it a blockbuster trade, man. You know, we can hate on Cleveland and that whoever owns, I can't think of his name right now. It doesn't matter. Whoever owns the organization, man, like, he at least takes a swing. He might have a down year, but at least takes a swing. So they put out a team. Like he found out that, you know, saying the aftermath of the Utah blow up between Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert was that, you know, saying Donovan Mitchell could have went anywhere. Then, man, Brandon, do you follow any news? I know you don't. Do you? But you should. Any New York media that retains like the Knicks. Man, they lost their mind because at one point, Donovan Mitchell, I guess he had his choice to, like, you know what I'm saying, he could have went to the Knicks in a trade, but he kind of like, nah, you know what I'm saying, he said nah. So he ends up in Cleveland, man. You know the New York fan base love that, man. They ate him up, man. Oh, my God, Brandon. They ate him up. Anyway, check for it. I'll send you the video, man. But, like, no, man, this is supposed to be somewhat of a super team. You know what I'm saying? Splash team. I won't call it a super team, but a splash team that Cleveland built. You know what I'm saying? You have two great dynamic point guards in Mitchell and Garland. And you had Garland got traded. But you know what I'm talking about. They have two great point guards, and they got some other great pieces. Hell, they let Kevin Love go for nothing. You know what I mean? Superstar rookie,
he still plays for the Cavs. Garland does.
I got my guard for Strickland. Strickland does got plays for Utah now. But Kevin Love, they let Kevin Love go for nothing. You know, on waivers. And last year, Kevin Love was flirting with being sixth man of the year. Anyway, man, this was a deep Cleveland Cavaliers team. It won a bunch of games. This year, it was supposed to have Donovan Mitchell to be able to turn on the switch. He's turned on the switch, but, like, sometimes, man, it's only on a dim switch, Brent. It's not all bright, man. It's not. It's, you know what I mean? I question the fit, but they are a great regular season team. But, like, man, what's they – the Knicks kind of got their number, man.
Okay. Nuggets and T-Wolves. Nuggets win 4-1. They finished them off. Joker had a triple-double. So Nuggets are advancing. They're going to take on the Suns, who won 4-1 over the Clippers. Looked like it was going to be a great, fun series. And then, obviously, with Paul George out and then Kawhi is out, and it was just basically on Westbrook's shoulders and Devin Booker kind of stepped up his game and just went off like crazy, which shows how Kevin Durant is really a Robin to Devin Booker's Batman. So he's got to write the coattails for another guy to a championship run.
Crossroads Sports America. He's shading Kevin Durant again.
Let me ask you this before we talk about the Heat or the Suns and Clippers. The series. John, the Clippers, there's talks if it's time to break them up because Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, since they both joined the organization, out of a possible 347 games that the Clippers have played, they have only shared the court 142 games, which is only 40% of the games possible to play. Is it time to break it up? They both get hurt, you know, at least Kawhi. Kawhi always gets hurt. I think it's time to ship Kawhi out. I'd ship Kawhi out of Los Angeles before I would Paul George. How about that?
Interesting.
You got to get something out of it. You're not getting it as an organization.
Would there be any takers? Would there be any takers on that? Risk takers?
Phoenix?
Dallas?
Dallas would, but I don't know if the Clippers want to trade in the West Coast. He'd probably go East, maybe Miami.
Pat Riley. Well, Pat Riley would maybe. He can't go back.
He tried to get him
the
first time from Toronto.
You know what, Brandon? That's a different conversation. I don't know what the hell is going on. I got notes on Toronto. Like, I don't know. Who knows what's going on there? But that's a different conversation, man. As far as what's going on right here, man, like, that's just sad that's happened. Like, Kawhi Leonard, however, you know what I'm saying, you know what I mean, however you want to, he is a great player in a
positive time.
But unfortunately, unfortunately, man, like, it's not over time. Like, it's like, man, I can't play tonight. Like, what? It's the playoffs, man. Can you not play tonight, or are you hurt? Or, like, are you – what's going on? That would be my question. Now, if he can't really play because, like, it's so inflamed, like, man, he'd be risking, like, everything, I get it. And it's about the money and extending, you know what I mean? But, like, damn it, Brandon, correct me if I'm wrong, the contract's already guaranteed. So, I don't get it. Honestly, after I saw the last – injury of Paul George, I thought he would be done. What are you playing for? Hell, he got a damn podcast. He's trying to go against us now, Brandon. You know what I mean? And
right.
He got his money. Paul George, one thing you can't say he didn't get paid. The Pacers paid him a $125 million contract. And then Oklahoma, the Thunder paid him a $119 million contract. Then he got traded to the Clippers. Who didn't get, hey, man, what is he playing for? Go out on top, man. Paul George, Pacer, man. Man, you know what, Brandon, he's in the top 10 all-time Pacers. He's a top 10. I can't say top 5, not right now. He's a top 10 Pacer.
Yeah, so is Kawhi.
You think about some of the moments. You said Kawhi, oh, wow, because Kawhi Leonard should have got a, well, right, Kawhi Leonard should have been to the draft, right? Right.
Hey, Kawhi's only
like,
got 1 year left. He's got a player option.
You can't
for $48 million.
A media member, nor can a coach. I don't even think an organization should ask a player to retire. A player should kind of know that. Damn. But yeah, man,
40,
it looks like they should
$48 million.
Like you wasting time, man. Or whoever would want to take that on to micromanage it so that they can use it in spurts. But that's
uh-huh.
like that's like $45 million. That's $45 million on your bench, man. That's
he's
crazy.
Got two. I'm sorry, he's got 2 years, 3 years left. Basically, next year he's making $45 million. The following year he's got a $48 million player option, and then he's unrestricted free agent. I think if you're in Los Angeles, you try to find a way to send that somewhere. You got to
remember you. Brandon, you lost your mind when I told you Westbrook was going to get traded, right? Remember? You lost your mind. You're like, no way, nah. You're like, no. There's no – I'm telling you right now, there's no way you can trade. There's no way. Nobody is trading for Kawhi Leonard's contract. When you throw out the numbers to me like that, nobody trading for that.
Uh-huh.
Maybe Paul George, but nobody trading for Kawhi Leonard.
So, I think that's –
Okay.
Paul George, he's making $45 million this coming year, and he'll be at $48 million with a player option the following year as well. They basically have similar contracts, very similar contracts to two. You don't blow it up completely with both, but I think if you want to continue, you say, hey, I'm making a change to get some people to play the floor, I'd give Kawhi. And Paul, as crazy as that sounds.
I don't know, man.
34 years old.
Both the same age. His history, His history is shaky. On a but like, Brandon, are we talking on a championship team, or are we just talking about like on Orlando Magic for entertainment?
We're talking Los Angeles Clippers trying to get to where they get to. That's deep.
No, I'm talking about where did they end up at? Like, what kind of team?
I think Miami. I think they're a playoff team. I think he gets to a playoff team. I think they would do him the justice to say, listen, it's not working here. Let's trade you to a team that can make the playoffs. We'll do you nice since you did us nice coming here. We'll thank you that way.
They're not low carriers no more, though, man. That's what I'm trying to say. They can't carry teams on their back.
Okay. Then it's either going to be, I think, Miami. I think New Orleans would be another great spot for him. I think you can even find a place to get to Brooklyn with those draft picks.
Not both of them. They might take this.
No, just the one. You'd have to get rid of what's his face? Dinwiddie.
Dinwiddie.
Yeah.
Dinwiddie's with Brooklyn. You going to come back that way? No.
You know what? Even to get him out of the conference, I can see him shipping him to Chicago. Chicago could send some pieces out there. But I think he'll go to a playoff team. I think they would do him the justice. They wouldn't just ship him to the Magic or to the Hornets/Bobcats and just say, thanks, Kawhi, but your contract's too much. I don't think he's got a no-trade clause, but not that I see here.
I don't think so.
But
I think
as a Clipper, you got to do something. So back to
the coaches. The coach is clearly frustrated. He was clearly frustrated. He didn't have all his rotation of players.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's put a pin in that real quick.
Yeah.
Suns, they advance. Devin Booker's carrying this team, of course, because Kevin Durant cannot. They're going to be taking on the Nuggets in the second round. That should be a great series. Should be a really great series. We'll see what kind of player Ayton is against the Joker.
Man, you got Devin Booker versus
Jamal Murray.
I might lose my mind right there.
Aaron Gordon versus whoever.
Yeah, Porter Jr.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it's going to be a lot of offense in this game. Joker's gonna get tested. You know what I mean? Y'all can book that to be seven series right here.
How you think that's going seven? Who you liking?
You don't believe in Kevin Durant, man. Again, I think Kevin Durant got a little bit more health in him than Paul George. And Kawhi Leonard, they didn't bandage him up and package him up. Like, they're going to try to get the best Kevin Durant right now.
Paul George and Durant. Durant's got so many people around him, he can just take nights off and they win.
Not now. Well, man, not now, man. Well, if you're talking about Devin Booker, sure. I don't know, Brandon. The Clippers had
John,
a good
this
they had a
could
game.
Win the title without him.
Before the trade?
Yep.
Sure, I'll go for that. I'll sign that.
With
you're
Bridges
right.
and Cam
Before
Johnson,
the trade,
they would have won the title. They would have been my pick.
They would need some help, like right now. They need, like right now. Giannis is in jeopardy. Like, we don't know what that's going to look like. And the Warriors look good right now. But, like, heck, it took a Herculean effort for them to tie it up with the Sacramento Kings. I still got the Kings. I don't know if the Kings going to win the series, but the Kings, they're going to push it to seven. Now, that I know. That's going to get pushed to seven. But like, I think this goes seven. Phoenix and the Denver Nuggets going seven.
Okay.
I want to see what Joker can do. Joker got to put the icing on the cake one time or something. Yeah. One time.
Okay. Real quick, as we're waiting for Danny, Indiana Pacers, $27 million in cap space, luxury tax space, $55 million, which they will never use. They got 12 guys under contract, 5 guys will be free agents: O'Shea Brissett, Kendall Brown, George Hill, James Jones, and Gabe York, restricted 2-way. They do still have. They do have about 1.7 million in dead cap with Malik Fitz, Juwan Morgan, and Nick Stauskas. They have the seventh.
Juwan Morgan from IU.
Yeah, they still have his contract from that trade.
My goodness.
Yeah, they got to handle it. So we'll see. Pacers got 7, 26, and 29 in the first round. I don't think they're going to pick all three, and we'll highlight that as the season or as the off season continues. Draft lottery, it used to be about this time, and now it's being pushed back all the way to the middle of May. Before we kind of see where the draft, the ping pong balls go, but the we've got the Indiana Pacers there. Yeah, I mean they at least got Miles Turner for another year. Unless they decide, I think they're having for at least a couple more. I don't think you sign him just to get rid of him. So if that makes sense there. Other bracket right now, looking at Lakers and Memphis. John, Lakers game getting ready to start here momentarily. I think Memphis wins this one tonight. I think you get the good Ja Morant in this one. Dylan Brooks, man, that dude, he's all talk, man. He has no game out there. Besides the talker that you see like on a rec league, I word LA Fitness.
It turned into real cartoonish real fast, man.
Right? Like, it's just,
I mean, you try to respect everybody who tries to do something. You know what I mean? We know this dude he's not as athletically gifted on the basketball court as LeBron James, man. So, you know, but, like, I thought it was over the top when he called LeBron James old. Damn near, you know, disrespectful, you know what I mean, to our senior citizens. You know what I mean? But it is what it is, man. I've heard worse on the court, but, like, you know, he poked the bear, man, and he woke up the Lakers. Not just LeBron. He woke up the Lakers.
Yeah, AD.
They got a matchup problem. And, like, that can't be masked. Like, the crowd can only get you over so far. And though Ja Morant is, like nobody can touch him and guard him, I get how you're looking at it. Like, inside, like, the Lakers are just bigger than him. Like, their biggest guy.
Flying in there. He's expecting a bailout call every time.
Yeah, he better be careful, man. Because it's not going to happen, and two, he's going to get hurt. But in a close game, as long as the fourth quarter, if Memphis is up 10, they'll win. But if it gets close to, like, they let the Lakers snip to, like, a 4 or 5 point lead, the Lakers will close this out tonight. Because, like, they don't want to send the series either. LeBron, being the ice tubs his damn self. So that you know, there's a potential of that, man. They better blow him out tonight if anything.
Yeah, I honestly think we probably get a pedestrian LeBron James performance tonight. Usually there's one game where he'll take off or so. I think it'll probably be this one. He's going to try to have AD carry the show, which it won't happen. Austin Reeves probably won't hit his shots tonight. So I think Memphis wins this one decently. Jaw somewhat sets up, but I haven't seen anything from Jaw or Memphis that shows anything that they belong to a Western Conference Finals or anything at all. I didn't trust them from the start. I don't trust them now. I don't trust Jaw. He looks like he takes a ton of plays off, and then when he tries to, he just throws his body in there, and then just like 95% of the NBA players, they just throw their hands in the air. It's like, where's the foul? And then they don't get back on defense. It's three on two, layup. So... But, yeah, I think this is the game of LeBron. Now, watch. We'll pull the tape. I think this is the game where LeBron takes it off tonight. Maybe has 12, 9, and 8. And that's taking it off. 12, 9, and 8. Almost a triple-double. But we'll see. I have liked Rudy Hachimura, his game with the Lakers, what he's done. That was a huge trade for them to get him at the All-Star break there. And,
right.
And the Lakers will go as far as Anthony Davis is healthy, basically. If he's healthy, they have a good chance to go far. If not, then street clothes it is, and wrap it up, Crypto Center, Crypto Arena, close it down for the year. So, all right, let's bring our guest on, John. Friend of the program, from the Indianapolis Recorder, our auto racing guru, friend of ours, Danny Bridges. Danny, welcome. How are you, sir?
Good evening, gentlemen, and I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good to hear, Danny. It's about that – well, I mean, it's already that time of year with racing everywhere, but we had a little bit of the itch last week with the open test of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway with the Indy cars. What is your first glimpse of that? Cause I had people asking me, based off that, who do you think's going to win? I'm like, we're going off an open test. I got to try to pick a winner. But what was your analysis from that first day of testing?
Well, it's impossible to pick a winner this far away from the event. And then really, to be quite frank, I think there's only a third of the field who can win on race day. And in my opinion, a solid chance to do such, I might add. There were several guys who were, you know, over 226 miles an hour. And Marcus Ericsson was over 227. But, you know, how much do you have to play by the rules in a test versus actual qualifications in racing? How much boost are you, you know, using? There's a lot of things. I don't think anybody was playing possum, but it was a windy day. It didn't rain, at least. But,
right.
You know, a lot of people appeared to be quick on a practice day. Some of those times were ran when, you know, they didn't have traffic in their way. So I don't think you learn a whole heck of a lot about who's the quickest or who's got the best shot to win a race. But if you look at the season so far, we've had three races and three different winners. I think there's a good chance that could happen again this Sunday in Alabama when they take the road course there. If that happens, four winners in four races is a testament to the competitive aspect of IndyCar racing and the number of guys who can get out there and on any given day and come home first. It's still the big four teams, McLaren, Andretti Autosport, Penske, and Ganassi. But within those teams itself, you've got multiple drivers. So I'd say there's about a third of the field who could be who's going to win the Indianapolis 500 and maybe a couple guys after that. But, boy, that's a big number to pick a winner here on the 26th of April.
Yeah, I know. I felt a lot of pressure when I got asked that. How impressed are you this far in the IndyCar season with last week's winner, Kyle Kirkwood? How he's done it. I know he had a rough start there the first week, but coming off last week's win.
Well, he's scary good. That's the two words I would think of right off the bat. If you look at his history in racing in the series that have led up to the IndyCar opportunity that he has, he's been phenomenal. Last year, a lot of people didn't really understand what was going on. Michael Andretti didn't have a car for him, but he had him under contract. So he was conveniently farmed out to AJ Foyt Racing to get repetition. Obviously, the equipment at Foyt Racing isn't that at Andretti Autosport. That's no knock on the legendary AJ Foyt. That's just the reality of the difference of those two teams. So he struggled a bit. He did have a 10th place finish in one particular race. He took a lot of lumps, but he also got a lot of laps and got a lot of experience. It's not a surprise to me that he's quick. He dominated at Long Beach, and there's no question about that. He does have a chance to win the Indianapolis 500 because he's that good, and he's got great teammates, and he's on a great team. That would probably surprise me a little bit, but not dramatically. But he's scary good. He's quick. He's aggressive. It's incredible to me how many young guys in IndyCar today that can't buy a bottle of beer and yet they can still, you know, run a car at 235 miles an hour down the backstretch in Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But to your point directly, he's a phenomenal talent. He's only going to get better. And I tell you what, he's the kind of talent to where Michael Andretti will have a big decision to make when his contract expires because he'll be able to command a good salary elsewhere. But phenomenal driver and certainly a guy to keep a close eye on this weekend in Alabama on a road course for sure.
How shocking is it? We got Danny Bridges from Indianapolis Recorder joining us. How shocking is it, Danny, the performance this year of Ed Carpenter Racing and like Renus VK? I mean, who sat on the pole last year for this Alabama race? It just seems like this year it's Ed Carpenter Racing just hasn't, they haven't had it, you know?
Well, I think ovals are their strong suit, even though VK has distinguished himself on road courses previously. I think Ed Carpenter runs a first-class operation. I do not believe, though, that they're in the same realm of a Ganassi, an Andretti Motors Autosport, obviously Penske, and as well as McLaren. There's a gap there. How do you close that gap? It's R&D. It's having the money and the resources to do the types of things that, you know, to cross every T, dot every I, as far as that's concerned. Ed is always a contender for the pole at Indianapolis. He's had a couple races in his career where he's led some laps. I mean, Connor Daly on that team, I think, led close to 50 laps last year, at least 45. So there's representation there. There's talent there. I don't think from an engineering perspective, from a research and development perspective, that they're where they need to be. But certainly, Rinus VK, if he can qualify well in Alabama, because obviously these road courses are tight. That was a track developed for motorcycle racing when it was built. It's just wide enough for an IndyCar race to happen. It's not extremely wide. But track position will be the king. And if you can qualify well and stay up near the front, then you've got a chance to do something when you get down to the last 10 laps or so. But I would be surprised if Carpenter Racing, VK specifically, I wouldn't be surprised if he qualified well. I'd be surprised if he won the race, because it, to me, is the usual suspects on a road course. And that's a pretty distinct club. But to your point directly, Carpenter Racing is a solid outfit, but, you know, there's a gap between them and the top four, as I like to call them, and they're not alone as far as being, you know, beneath those guys. But Ed has been a smart owner. He's been conservative, obviously, having Tony George in his corner as a partner and a co-owner of that team is a big plus financially. But they're just not where they need to be from an engineering perspective.
Okay.
I got one question. It's a two-parter, and then John, I'll let you hone in here as well. My two-part question, Danny, is what kind of excitement build? I mean, we've got Tony Kanaan getting ready to have his final Indy 500 here. The build-up, the exciting month of May with Tony. But then also, what are we going to miss? I mean, obviously, not everybody, hopefully everybody in Indiana watches the Indy 500 or knows of it and everything. But for those that don't, or well, the charismatic, the character that Tony Kanaan is, kind of what is we going to be missing once he's officially retired and not in the capacity of racing here at Indy? But he'll be back, I'm sure, in some sort of way.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind for me is a tremendous athlete. At the age of 48, he's in remarkable physical condition. I asked him point blank at Long Beach. I had a chance to just briefly talk to him before the race. I said, "Are you in better shape now than you were 20 years ago?" And he started grinning. Triathlons, you know, distance running, bicycling. He has a regiment that is just unbelievable. Maybe he's not in the best shape of his life, but it's got to be close to it. At age 48, it's remarkable. His charisma, his enthusiasm, his ability to work with sponsors and develop a brand, his impact on fans. He's congenial. He's accessible when he's at the racetrack. Obviously, these guys have to, you know, they have to plan their time, and they only get so many minutes a day to practice, and they have to, you know, they have obligations with their team as far as debriefing and talking about what they did, the changes they made, and what have you. So that limits the amount of time they may have to interact with fans. But he is a phenomenally popular driver, and I'm going to go out on a limb here and tell you this. He gets a well-balanced race car and good pit stops, he'll be around at lap 180, and that's where you need to be at that place. Because after that last pit stop, you've got it sorted out. You've got your last set of sticker tires. What are we going to do with this thing? And that's when it gets interesting. I will say this. He says, this is it. I'm retiring. If Tony Kanaan was somehow able to pull off his second career victory at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, I guarantee you he'll be in that race the year after.
Yeah, he kind of surprised me last year. I mean, not that he did race well, but, you know, as I look at the end of the race and you look at it, he finished third? Like, what in the world?
Well, again, a fine team, Ganassi yep. Racing. He's with McLaren now. Again, if you get a well-balanced car with that type of driving experience and you get good pit stops, you're going to be around unless you have a mechanical failure. And if he's around at lap 180, he's going to do one thing. He's going to dice it up. He's going to go for it. He won't be the only guy, but he'll be certainly a guy that you'd have to keep an eye on. And he races clean. He races hard. Again, he's in phenomenal physical condition. I keep harping on that, but people don't understand the impact that an IndyCar has on a driver's body, the G-forces, the stamina that's necessary to even get into one of those things and compete like the way they do. He's an unbelievably talented guy, but he takes such great care of his body, and he's in phenomenal physical condition, and that's a huge plus for him. It wouldn't surprise me if he runs well. I hope that he does, mm-hmm. if this is truly the fan farewell. But he's given so much of this sport. How cool would it be to see him win his second race?
Right.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. I mean, definitely, that place would be loud even afterwards, kind of like it was last
yeah.
year.
It would be a very, very popular win.
Yeah, for sure. John?
Man, I just got a couple for Danny. When did Jeff Newgarden pull out his cowboy hat? Has he always had this cowboy hat?
Well, that's part of the trophy celebration in Victory Lane at Texas. You get a, I think it's a Stetson. It's a pretty nice hat. And then they
yeah.
have the ceremonial pistols that fire blanks and all that good stuff too. But the guy's a heck of a talent. He's distinguished himself at that oval several times now. He's just a remarkable driver. I believe he is the face of Penske Racing, even though you've got Will Power, who is the a decorated champ, former champion of the series, as well as an Indianapolis 500 winner. Newgarden is
right.
itching
well,
to win the Indianapolis 500. So
right, that's what,
I
the
just,
last time. The last time, sorry, Danny. Last time you came on here, and I think his name came up as far as winning. You said he was a talent, and like I'm waiting for the talent. Like I get it, man. He's a good looking guy, man. He put the cowboy hat on, man. Automatically, his eyes and ears kind of going. But like, when's he going to win? I know he won a race this season. He already won a race.
Well,
this
he's won the series championship before.
Yeah,
you got to remember that. So he's accomplished
okay.
that. He's a well established commodity. What he doesn't have on his resume is what we've been talking about earlier, an Indianapolis 500 victory. So if he was able to win this race, and he certainly is one of the strong favorites going into it, that would really cap off a young career. But, you know, this guy could probably be racing well 10, 12, maybe even 15 years from now. There's another guy who keeps himself in pretty good physical condition. But he's got it all going on. He's blonde-headed, blue-eyed, handsome guy. Popular with the fans, driving for arguably
right.
the greatest team in the history of motorsports. It's not a bad thing to be Joseph Newgarden.
Hey, I bet. My second, I miss, so like, man, you know what, it's rapping with you, man, obviously, we you know, sitting here at Crossroads Sports, and then got more into racing, and we share, you know, so we share content, but like, when you do that with the algorithms that have Twitter and Facebook and, you know, and Instagram work, it pulls you into like other like racing forms of racing, mm-hmm. man. So, and I know you appreciate those racing forms of racing too. So, like, man, can you? I gotta ask you, man. Like, I know isn't like MotoGP? It's on seasonal hiatus right now, right? Like motorcycle
right.
racing. It's on season
yeah,
high, so like, man, when
that
will
is,
all that ever...
That's some daredevils there, the MotoGP thing. That is
correct, right.
I really hate to see
absolutely.
That event go away at Indy.
Right, everybody. So when will all that – well, they had MotoGP out there at one point, did they not?
Sure, I hated to see that leave. It was a phenomenally entertaining event for me. to watch in person. It's a distinctive taste in racing. A lot of people would rather watch cars instead of bikes. I like them both.
Right.
So it was incredible to see that the inaugural race, the winner come across the finish line and pop a wheelie doing about 180 miles an hour. I'll never forget that if I lived to be 120 years old. I saw that and I thought, but you don't see that every day, a wheelie at 180. And
right.
But that was, you know, that was part of the victory, you know, coming across the line, getting a checkered flag, all that. That's not the first time they've done that, and it wouldn't be the last either. But, no, I think we're fortunate to have a facility like we do at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, which draws a NASCAR event, which gives us a couple, actually three IndyCar events a year, if you
right.
count the Grand Prix. And then, of course, they'll be back on the road course as a doubleheader aspect with NASCAR later in the year. And, of course, the 500. So I don't know. The racing bug for me is self-explanatory. I could go out to the Motor Speedway if they go out there with an open mind that there's all kinds of disciplines of racing coming through in there. I like NASCAR racing on a road course. That's not the greatest road course in the world out there. But you do find out who can shift, who can drive, who can brake, and who can
right.
sling those heavy cars, you know, into the turns and make them go. But you know, they'll probably go back to an oval event out there eventually. I think they will. I think it's their tradition. But, you know, there's not much racing that I don't really go for. I'm not a huge drag race fan for whatever reason. But I'll watch
right,
a sprint car, a midget car, a NASCAR, an Indy car, a Formula One car. I'll watch a bike race.
Right.
There's not much I don't enjoy about the different disciplines, that's for sure.
Well, what's preventing? Is there's no Formula One race currently running at the Motor Speedway, correct?
No, that dissolved when the sanctioning fee became more of a burden than a business opportunity.
So
Formula One has. Formula One has branched out in America now to where they've got three races in America with the Miami race, with the race at Austin. And this new race they're going to have at Las Vegas, which I assure you will be the biggest, most glittery thing that they've ever done in the United States. It's going to be an unbelievable spectacle. And I think IndyCar has to be a little concerned that F1 now has three profitable, interesting races in the United States. That doesn't diminish the value of the Indianapolis 500, but I'm talking about the overall series of IndyCar. You have to be a little concerned about them coming over here and staging events, not just races, but events that are extremely well planned, extremely well attended, a lot of celebrities, a lot of glitz, a lot of buzz. There'll be a lot of social media surrounding that Las Vegas race this year, but you know, you've got Miami again, and of course you've got the Circuit of the Americas at Austin, Texas, which is a phenomenal racing facility. So there's plenty of appetite for Formula One in the United States, as there is globally, and they know how to put on an event. They really do. They don't spare expense, and they know how to make it shine. They really do. And racing at night,
correct,
like they're going to do at Vegas, will be a unbelievable spectacle, I assure you.
I totally agree. Me and Brandon worked for Best Buy 100,000 years ago. And I think that's the last time the Formula One, it was on the west side of town, and we had a bunch of Formula One peak guys come up in there, and, like, they bought everything because taxes where they're from
right.
are totally different than taxes here. So
right.
the limit three on a cell phone, wasn't no problem for them. So we live like that, you know, saying it ain't no big deal. Everybody knows
well,
we're working Best Buy. But
I hate the fact.
So, like,
I hate.
Go ahead.
No, I hate the fact that Formula One is gone from Indianapolis. I don't believe it will ever return because these other venues that we just discussed are so much larger and so much glitzier, for lack of a better term, especially Vegas and Miami. You know, Formula One had their problems here. Obviously, the tire debacle, they had that
yeah.
going and working against them.
Ooh.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you pull into town and the series is wrapped up already and Schumacher's got the title in the bag, that kind of takes the air out of the balloon, too. A controversial finish out there where his teammate pulled over and allowed Schumacher to score extra points in the 1 year when they were still in the title hunt. So Formula One, I think, has ran its course at Indianapolis. Could Roger Penske stage a Formula One race? Absolutely. He's got the resources financially and otherwise. But I don't believe that the Indianapolis venue can offer the presentation, the glitz, the glamour, and the buzz that a Las Vegas street race, a Miami street race, or for that matter, even at the Austin, Texas can. So can they live together in the same quandaries of North America? Absolutely. But I still believe that the IndyCar series has to work really hard when they're away from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. They've got events that draw well. A key word is an event, and that would be looking at Road America at Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, looking at Mid-Ohio, Lexington, Ohio, looking at Long Beach Grand Prix, which is a staple on their schedule. Thing about those events, they're just that. They're events. There's 3 days, and people come out, and they party, and they watch the race, and they spend money at restaurants and with vendors and what have you. Everybody makes money in those events. It's the other tracks that they go to that are more of a concern to me. I think if you get 20,000 people at one of these other races that I'm talking about that aren't Long Beach, Mid-Ohio, Elkhart Lake, then you've got a pretty good day on your hands. But at Long Beach, they drew 192,000 people over a three-day period of time. That's a phenomenal turnout. And the weather was nice, and the vibe is great. You're by the beach. You've got plenty to eat. There's plenty to drink, vendors, live bands. It's a party.
Brandon, you got to get to it.
Oh, I've been to I went to one of the ones back here in when they were here back in 2004. It wasn't like it was now, but I'd like to. It's pretty penny. But, yeah, it's funny we're talking Formula One because just the other night I got on YouTube. I get down YouTube wormholes, and I love watching documentaries and stuff. And I watched the documentary somebody made over the big tire fiasco, and everybody went on their warm-up lap, and then everybody but six drivers basically – six drivers went to the grid. Everybody else parked it. Just watching that. Yeah. I wish ESPN would do a 30 for 30 on that because I think it would be great to talk to everybody
that,
now.
That was a very dark moment for Formula One and unfortunately a very dark moment for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But speaking of documentaries, tomorrow night on the CW Network, you can see the debut of 100 Days to Indy. It's a documentary that covers the races that lead up to the Indianapolis 500, which in this case would be St. Petersburg, Texas, Long Beach, and then eventually Alabama. And I know a lot of time and money has been put into this. That's tomorrow night is the debut of that. I think it's 7:30, 8 o'clock. I do know it's on CW for the record. And I think you're going to find an interesting look at IndyCar. I know for a fact I saw some of those guys working at the races, the documentary team, and, you know, the equipment is high-tech. They know how to film. They know how to edit. They know how to interview people. And so I think it's going to be a good watch tomorrow night. And I would recommend anybody who's even a closet Indy fan to take a look at that again tomorrow night on the CW, and it's entitled 100 Days to Indy.
Yeah, looks great. It'll be, looks like I'm looking at IndyCar's Twitter account right now, 9 p.m., tomorrow night. It'll be right about the time the Colts are making their pick in the draft, but I'm going to tune into it. CW, you can download the app and you can stream it from there if you don't get the channels for there, but you'll be able to stream it through there.
I got to figure out where CW is on my dish. I have no idea, but I'll find it. I've got 24
enough.
Hours to find it.
I was stupid enough to download the app to watch a live golf event, and then that's the one, I've only watched it one day, and that was it. So I will be busting it back out for this.
Why not?
Documentary.
Why not?
My last question, then we'll go to John. We are 24 hours away from the NFL draft. Jim Irsay, Chris Ballard, Shane Steichen, whose name's getting called at pick number 4 for Indianapolis? Putting you on the spot.
Well, obviously what happens in front of them is going to dictate a bit. It's going to be a quarterback. It has to be a quarterback. You know, there are people who are starting to think that Carolina may be interested and Will Levis from Kentucky. If that was to happen, this is all hypothetical, but if that was to happen, that guarantees the fact that, in my book, that either Stroud, C.J. Stroud, or Bryce Young would be available. Now, Bryce would go, I would think, number two to Houston. But I don't think the Cardinals are looking for a quarterback considering the amount of money they've got invested in Murray. So the Colts are going to have to make a choice at that point on who may be left. Richardson is a raw, talented, phenomenal athlete. He may end up being a phenomenal NFL quarterback. That's a bit of a roll of the dice. You don't know. Small sample size at Florida, but phenomenal athlete. And obviously Levis, big arm. C.J. Stroud is a talented passer. I still say Ohio State, Georgia, and the college football playoffs if Marvin Harrison Jr. hadn't gotten a concussion. But those are things in the rearview mirror. But I can't – I mean, Stroud just played so calmly and so well down the stretch for Ohio State. He may be their guy, but I'll take that a step further. I still feel on opening day for the Indianapolis Colts that Gardner Minshew is going to be their starting quarterback. I think they're going to allow the rookie to come in slowly. He knows the system. He knows how to get the ball out of his hands quickly. They've got a running game in Jonathan Taylor. They need some more weapons on the wideout area and at the tight end as well. And obviously the Colts have holes on their offensive line. I mean, they've got a lot of needs. So the draft is not just about who the quarterback's going to be, even though that is the cornerstone. But a lot of people think I'm crazy to say that. I don't think he's just an insurance policy. I think he's the guy who starts opening day for them. But I don't necessarily think that's necessarily a long-term commitment. And I think whether it be Stroud or Richardson, and I think it'll be one of those two, you know, they're going to get playing time. And why not? Why not designate a young player as your guy? And no matter how poorly he may play, keep sending him out there. You don't want to get him injured, but you keep sending him out there for more repetition, more confidence, and hopefully that transcends into him becoming an NFL quarterback much sooner than later.
Okay. John, anything else?
Yeah, I can't refute anything that he said about what the Colts are going to do tomorrow. Before we let Danny go, Danny wrote a piece for the Indy Recorder, I do believe it was last week, about NIL. I kind of wanted him to share his thoughts on NIL. Here at Crossroads Sports, we're pretty much pro NIL. I think, Danny, for my lens, the schools want it to be separate from anything that looks like the NBA or the NFL. But that's what it kind of is like merging into.
My main concern is the transfer portal. I mean, the NIL thing will take care of itself if you're a good player. I look at, just for example, because it's local, I look at Purdue and IU, and it's two different polar opposites currently in the NIL aspect. Purdue's got, you know, a dominant big man, and there are those who think he's getting paid quite a bit of money up there already. I'm not so certain.
Right.
I don't see him. Of course, with apparel companies and rich, you know, alumni, anything's going to be possible. But I think he's going to test the waters of pro basketball. But even if he didn't, my biggest concern about the transfer portal / NIL is let the players have the same opportunity the coaches do. A coach can pick up on a whim. If you're a marquee coach at a marquee program, there's a buyout. But if the new employer wants you bad enough, they can and they will pay that buyout.
Right.
Players need to
right.
have similar options to be able to pick up and go. That's why I approve of the transfer portal. Yeah, it turns things upside down. But scholarships, other than for blue-chip players, are always year-to-year anyway. No one gets a four-year ride. I love that term. Oh, I got a four-year ride. No, you didn't. You got four one-year opportunities. And if you don't play well that first year, you may not have a scholarship the second year, depending upon the composition of the team overall.
Right.
You know, Matt Painter gave a very candid interview with JMV recently on 107.5. Mm-hmm. First of all, I think Matt Painter is an excellent basketball coach. I think he's a good man. I think he's a man of character and integrity. I think his message about frustration with the transfer portal was twofold. Number one, yeah, I got to start over in certain positions now as far as recruitment's concerned. And number two, I think he does have some concern for student athletes who might be making the wrong decision to put themselves in the transfer portal as opposed to staying at this case, Purdue. But it's a sticky wicket, you know. It's here. It has to be dealt with. It's part of the recruitment process. It's separate from traditional recruiting. But if you're not active and successful in the transfer portal, you are behind the eight ball big time. And it's just part of the way the game has changed. I just want to see players have the same ability to get up and go just like a coach can do. That's all I'm looking for in that regard. And so that's why I thought it was hypocritical for certain coaches to point the finger at players like, oh, he's making a mistake, or, hey, I didn't know this was happening. I didn't know he wasn't happy. You know, if a guy is a blue chip high school player, he doesn't play a lot his freshman year, he's not going to be happy. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to automatically go into the portal. That's a way of moving the pieces around on the chessboard for the player, and I like that part of it. As far as NIL is concerned, there's plenty of money out there. If you're a good player, you're going to get paid some. If you're a great player, you're going to get paid a lot. I have no problem with that. But I will say that it's changed the dynamic of the game in terms of, you know, you can buy a player in a recruitment process. If you can guarantee a player he's going to get $600,000 his freshman year and you make it clear that the money is there, that's a strong consideration for a young man who might come from an impoverished background, who comes from a family who may be living in poverty. Even if you're in a home where you're financially secure, that's still a staggering amount of money for an 18-year-old. Now, that's the exception to the rule, but still it exists. So I just felt certain coaches were being ridiculously overbearing about the transfer portal. And, you know, it's a part of the game, and it's not going anywhere. It's only going to get more hectic. And for those who can navigate it, they're going to have a leg up on their competition.
Beautiful. Danny, as always, thanks for joining us tonight. And we'll be sure to follow you on Facebook and all those social media channels as we get the IndyCar season continuing, as well as we ramp up here the month of May. Tune in tomorrow night, the 100 Days to Indy documentary starts on CW, so we'll watch that as well. And we'll get you on as we get closer, about a week so out from the 500. We'll get your thoughts on kind of what you've seen and what you like.
Let's
so far
do that. And remember that IndyCar is also live this Sunday from Leeds, Alabama. Yep. And that's a road course that will be entertaining. How you qualify dictates a lot about how you race there in terms of track position. From a podium perspective, I like a combination of, well, I'm going to say Scott Dixon, Alex Palou, and just to make things interesting, another appearance by Marcus Ericsson. So there you have it.
Beautiful. Thanks, Danny. We'll see you soon.
Always good. Thanks, guys.
Danny Bridges.
Danny Bridges, Indianapolis Recorder. JB, come on, man. You can't be asking. We're professional journalism now. We can't be asking about a cowboy hat,
man.
You got to know that's a trick for a race.
Hold on, man. I wasn't comparing him to, like, some new jack or, like, some rookie. But, like, he's been around enough. I feel like he's been around. Tony Kanaan probably going to win the race, Brandon.
No.
This is his last race, ain't it? It's Tony Kanaan's last
race. Doesn't mean you win it. I mean, he has a shot. They only have three rookies this year, so everybody's only three or four rookies in the league, so everybody's like a mainstay.
I wasn't picking on Joseph Newsgarden, man. I'm ready. I'm wanting to know when is he going to get the big one with the home run.
Well, I hope it's soon because I keep betting on him every year for the Indy 500 and just put a little bit on him and whatever. I got someone you can make fun of. We're going to bring him on. It's your long-lost cousin, Daryl Sykes. Daryl Sykes, what's going on?
Really? We doing this tonight? You know what?
He's free.
Listen. Hey, no. This is me. This is Scott. This is not Brandon.
What's going on, man?
You know what? Hey, Brandon, I don't like you. Jonathan, don't listen to this dude. Hey, listen. I love that's good. I like that. That was so talented. Hey, listen. I want to talk two things, right? Because I wasn't going to speak about NIL until my before me was talking about NIL. And I don't know who he is, but, man, I like the fact that he spoke about, hey, if these coaches can move, and I've talked about that incessantly, why can't a player pick up? And also he spoke about the one-year scholarship. Most folks don't know that. And they just say, well, he's got a four-year ride. It's okay. What's the big deal? They don't understand that. And so I like the fact that you all had him on and he spoke about it. That was a good thing. So big thumbs up there. But Jonathan, you posted on Twitter, man, everybody's losing players. And you're right. They want to see Deion fail. They want to see him fail because he's rambunctious. He's loud and all those things. But I'm telling you now, right now is the time for NIL to make it, that's making a difference, and there are no more dynasties. Yes,
dynasties are over. I really want people to be realistic about Deion going there first year. He might lose three games, and that's okay.
You're taking over a Power 5 program.
They're still in the Pac-12. However you feel about that, you know what I'm saying? They gotta beat Washington. They should stomp California. They should. You know what I'm saying? But they still gotta beat. They still gotta play USC. They still gotta play Oregon. Come on, man. It ain't gonna just be like, you know what I'm saying, just run them over, man. So
right.
He get out there and evaluate and says, hey, man, you know what? But it's Deion Sanders, so everything is amplified. But he's no more louder than Nick Saban or more of a.
Hey, listen. Hey, stop throwing Nick Saban out here because it's me on the phone here, right? So he is beyond Nick Saban because Nick Saban brought it because of what he did field, right? As a coach, not as a player, but as a coach. Deion's getting the cachet because of what he did on the field, tied in a little bit of Jackson State, a little bit of extra, but let's see what happens in Colorado. We talk about he could blow out Cal. I'm telling you now, he lost 42 players. He's brought in 28. I'm calling it right now, 4 wins for Colorado this coming season.
You said four.
Not 8, 4. 4.
Wow.
F-O-E.
I don't hate it.
That's a three-win lift from last season. What are you talking about?
I'm just concerned. Well, here's what I'll say, and I'll let Brandon go. I'm not concerned about the deep pocket that the Colorado faithful have because they have them. They just don't want to put the money on everything just yet, right? Here's what I'll say.
Why is that?
Because they gotta see it on the field first.
So in other words, they don't trust him just yet. But all the extra, they don't trust him just yet, is what you just said.
It's a winnable.
Mark the tape, Brandon.
I said three losses. Mark the tape. I said three losses.
Three losses?
Three wins.
Three,
what do you say? Three losses or three wins?
Three losses.
You got to respect the Pac-12 a little more than that, John.
My biggest concern, y'all won't even let me get to my concern. My biggest concern is not the defense, not necessarily running the ball. My biggest concern is, like, dude, you just leapfrog from, and it ain't nothing against HBCUs, but, like, you leapfrog mid-major all the way up to a Power 5. Do you think, you know what I'm saying, his quarterback room is super solid to compete? I ain't saying son. I'm just saying the room. You got to have a room. If you were a college football program, you got to have a quarterback room ready. You know what I'm saying?
I'm with you. Sure.
Just because you transfer players in
three losses,
from
man.
Jackson State.
Get him, Brandon. Get him, Brandon.
Just because you
Brandon,
transfer players
him.
In from Jackson State, they're still D2. They're the one-double-A level players. They don't come up and just say, hey, since you come here, guess what? You're a D1 player now. You're a Pac-12 top Power 5 conference player. Get out of here. They ain't going to be no more than 5 wins. They may make a bowl game.
Hey, mark the tape again. Brandon and Cox agreed on something. Oh,
yeah.
We're going to have some fun with this, man.
Deion may even get suspended for a game. He may just – I'm not saying anything.
Suspended?
He may be suspended for one game for something stupid. I can see it.
Are we talking about Marcus, Colorado, guys? Or y'all talking about IU? Y'all sound like y'all talking
We're
about
We're talking
IU.
College. Hey, football. Johnson, watch your mouth. Watch your mouth, Johnson. So, listen, let's do this. We're early on in the process. Let's get a date. Let's go live. Let's have some fun with it. Colorado, UCLA. Let's make it happen. You got the Ball State connection, yeah. Connection from Ball State.
You said Colorado, UCLA.
What do you say?
Come on,
man. Can we say it?
Here's a better
game. No. Let's
than
talk
that,
about
man.
It. Because Johnson, there's a connection. You're talking the Ball State connection with the coaching staff. Talking Deion.
You're right.
Come on, man.
If you can't beat UCLA, you ain't gonna be able to beat USC or anybody else.
No.
So yeah, you gotta beat UCLA.
I'm just saying from an effect. I think Brandon agrees with that. Let's do it. Let's do it.
You sure
all make, make the date. Make it happen. Let's make it happen.
I'm fine.
So
I'm
I don't
fine
wanna
with
go, I don't wanna hold the show for that, right? But I do wanna talk my Pacers, right? I wanna talk my Pacers, of course, right? So I've got a clarification. May 16th, we're on, fellas.
May 16th.
Lottery party.
Right,
we're on. Lottery party. Yes,
who's you trying to bring the United World Hen Tag Team Champions on to the Crossroads Sports Show?
Hey, yes, sir. Listen. That was my third thing.
Is he
right?
Listening to the show?
Listen.
Brandon, did you see
I'm not
dudes?
Sure
did
if
you
he's
see
listening. Hey, listen, man.
Brandon,
I
last time I was
no
in Delaware
what?
Valley, they told me no drinking water. You know
let
why.
The man
listen.
Talk, JP. Let the man
listen.
Talk.
Hey, Brandon, he's acting like Reggie, right? So listen. I had no idea when I interviewed him that he was a guy, right? So we started talking small talk, and that's when it came up. But we've got a table. It's the 12th or the 13th of May. It's $20 table. All matches are cage matches, by the way. All matches are cage matches.
Listen,
I can talk. Yes, sir. I understand that. That's near Ball State. Stop it. Hey. Johnson, stop it. That's near Ball State. Go,
he doesn't get out of 465 blue.
They had it. Back in the day, we had it's co-headlined by Bobo Brazil Jr.
Yes, you remember? Hey, that's what was his name when he was here? Calypso Jim. So,
man, I'm afraid for that jacket he had on in that flyer.
Hey, listen, I know a little bit, too, as we talked about, right? So I can get him on the call. I can get him anytime you all want. Let me know when you want him. Hey, it's mud slap.
Where's that show?
Right?
Listen, I ain't going to the show, man. I had to get – I won't even get an Uber there.
Man, come on, man.
Tell you, man, he doesn't
ponder,
go outside
right?
465.
Oh, Lord have
mercy.
You know what I do?
Brandon,
I tell him we're going to go hang out for a while, and I just kidnap him, right? But I want him on the show. I want him on the show because we talk about that.
We're getting him on, man.
That circuit,
what
right?
What are they? They the Mud Hen Tag Team Champions or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
I'm being disrespectful.
It's Mud Slap something, right? So here's the other thing. Jonathan, we were tight until this call. Listen, Brandon and I are supposed to argue, not you and I.
No, man.
So, absolutely. Here's the other thing.
Brandon, he want to talk about Deion spring game. Let's talk about Alabama spring game.
I want to talk about Alabama. Why are they having to go? Why are they all up in arms about getting a transfer quarterback from Notre Dame?
He's not going to be there. Jalen's better than him. He's not going to motivate his guys, right? So what they're saying. So
he's spinning now, Brandon.
Listen. Nick called me yesterday and we talked about it. So I got you. It's all good. No worries. The other thing. No, you guys, I can't stand you guys. So the other thing is, I want to hype my Pacers up, right? We're talking May 16th. We're talking about three weeks away. I want to get my ticket guy on so he can talk about what's going on with the back nine, what's going on in the summer, the draft day party, the amenities that are going to be outside of Bankers Life.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I said Bankers Life, not Gainbridge or whatever the case may be. I want to get my guy Dennis on, too, because there's a lot of good stuff going on in our city, and especially around Bankers Life that's going on with regard to the stadium, the amenities, what's going on for next year. Remember, All-Star game, right? I'm not going to be there, but that's coming up, too. So what do you guys say? I got two guys I want to get on the show. You tell me, who do you think
we
should get first?
We can't do it right now on air, but
No. I'm talking about in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, producer Deca here just wanted to put his dudes on.
I'm just saying, hey, those are my guys, man. You know what, Brandon?
We already getting the mud head tag team champions on,
the
man.
Mud head. Mud wrestling out of mudsy.
Yeah. See, you know what? I'm trying to bring some quality to the show. I'm ignoring Reggie. I got in all facets, and you all gonna sit there and try to clown me. Listen, I know the show we're wrapping up, but I'll message you guys as of what we've got. But I'm telling you,
cool.
I'm gonna bring some love to the show. To the Mud Flap Tag Team Champions. And, oh, by the way, if I get chance to go. No, Calypso Jim. Stop it. So, anyway, to that point. I'll go.
You're on the flyer, man.
I know, but it's because. Do you guys remember Calypso Jim?
Who's he supposed to be, Harry Belafonte?
That's it. Oh, you know what? I'm going to go live. Mm-hmm. And I'll let you guys know.
All right.
Thank you, Brandon, for disrespecting me. Be safe, fellas. I'll be in your inboxes to let you all know what's going on.
That was good. See you, D-Cut.
This is wild.
Love
man.
You guys. Be safe.
Yep.
Oh, mud wrestling,
this is
mud
wild,
again.
Man.
Hey, man, you want to bring everybody? You want to bring your neighbor on?
His what?
I said, do you want to bring your neighbor on next?
Hey, man, why not?
Hey, Mike Kelly, before we go, if you want to call back in real quick, you can. I saw you on hold, my man. If you want to call back in before we go, you can. Up to you. If not, we get about eight, nine minutes left to the show. Two things, John, real quick. Warriors, Kings, we didn't get – that was the last one we didn't get to. 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
Kings on their – the Kings have to get this one. But I think I like – everybody's on the Warriors on tonight's game, but DeMontis has kind of digressed as this series has gone on. They've guarded him pretty well, but I said the Warriors to win the NBA title was my pick when the playoffs started, so I'm going to have to stick with it.
Yeah, especially with De'Aaron Fox hand not being 100% or him not even – excuse me, we don't even know he's going to play. I assume he's going to play. But he's at 100%. It would take a tremendous effort. And I think they'll get that out of DeMontis Sabonis. And I think they'll get that, if he's on the floor, out of De'Aaron Fox. But, like, that's a lot to overcome now. I said in the first hour of Crossroads Sports, man, that I think the Kings extend this series, so I got to win this game. But I don't necessarily think that now that they win this series, man, because – Draymond Green and company, man, they flip the switch. They know how to flip the switch, and they know they can win on the Kings' home court. So, but I think the Kings get a victory, at least one more.
Okay. Triple H introduced the WWE World Heavyweight Title.
Oh my goodness.
I kind of like the design of it. I like the fact that they're bringing it back. Now there's people bitching saying it's a second tier title, which is not the case.
Ooh.
I like the introduction of this one and the look of this one more than I liked the Universal one, and the Universal one grew on me. So I'm okay with it. I'm at least glad they're seeing there needs to be a champion on every week. There has to be.
No, there should be a champion on every week. Anytime the show is on, the champion should be on, either in like a pre-recorded promo or come after live, preferably live, right? But no, you're right. Absolutely right, man. I don't put too much cachet in the look of the championship belt. I put a lot more cachet in like who's the champion and like what direction is the show going in and how, and you know what I'm saying, how that all kind of plays out, man. But it looks cool, man. Like, what do they do all day, man? It's like, hey, man, what can we do to spice up the show? What can we do? Let's bring out another belt. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know.
What was your thoughts on CM Punk being in the building and then McMahon having to ask him to leave because he was under contract with AEW still?
Dude, from being a guy, CM Punk's weird. Like, he's too unpredictable, man. Like, I get it. Like, it'd be one thing if it was a shtick, and I know at some point, man, the camera's going to come on, and then he's going to lose his shit because that's what he paid him to do. But, like, if he's losing his shit when we just at the discussion table, you know what I mean? Like, when the camera come open, like, yeah, we expect live camera action, but, like, when we at the discussion table, man, but, like, he does things, weird things at the discussion table, man, I don't know. I think it's cool, but, like, is he ready to commit to – he ain't committing to come back to be an all-man character. I would assume he's commit to being – like a booker, or maybe like a, like, you know what I'm saying, maybe even like a announcer or something like that. But I couldn't see him being a wrestler, not 100% wrestler, not anymore. Not for Vince.
Right.
AEW is a different situation.
I mean,
it's cool.
Anything else before we go?
Nah, man. I know we didn't touch a little base on Major League Baseball.
But the Colts. Let's talk Colts, man. We got some time. Let's go over a little bit. Let's go over about another 10 minutes, though. Let's talk Colts NFL draft is tomorrow night. And another thing, people have asked, are we going to go do a Facebook Live after the Colts pick or during the Colts pick?
I cannot necessarily commit to that because I got to work a little bit longer tomorrow. So I cannot.
Afterwards for like 10 minutes or something.
Yeah, after for sure. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So there you hear that. We'll do something afterwards. After the pick, me and John will do a quick 10-15-minute review about it. But, John, let's talk Colts. We heard what Danny said earlier. Pick four.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard Levitts. We've heard CJ Stroud with this S2 test or whatever that came out of the blue. Like, what the hell? But Anthony Richards, where are the Colts going to go? My goodness, there's so many choices. The odds have shifted so much over the last 48 to 72 hours.
Yeah, I started looking at some tape, some workout tape leaked on the internet of Will Levis, and it's kind of like Jamarcus Russell. He can throw from both sitting down all the way down the field. He's kind of like a workout warrior. He looks the part. He looks like you cut him out of soup quarterback, 6 foot plus, you know what I'm saying, chisel arms, look like, boom, big. Naturally big than Hulk Hogan's.
Uh-huh.
I've seen this for you other people. You know what I'm saying? But he looks the part. But, like, the body of work isn't there and the reps aren't there from, like, even, like, a minor league, like, what the SEC is. That's what we consider the NCAA, a minor league, right? And we know he's, when injured, like, you know what I'm saying, like, what does that look like? There's no doubt the Colts are going to pick a quarterback. Will Levis, I heard, you know what I'm saying? I don't think he goes number one. I think he might, crazy as that sound, man. He'll be number two? Will Levis? That's real thirsty,
wow.
Man. But, yeah, real thirsty and wild. And Will Levis, remember last year? Dude, that's crazy. Last year, they were thinking about, like, Kenny Pickett, we don't know. I don't think he could be pick 25. Like, people were saying that. And then the Steelers picked, you know what I'm saying, moved heaven and, well, you know, moved a little bit of pieces to move up to get him. But, and now where they go? And there was so much doubt on that. And, like, now the same guys are saying Will Levis is that guy. I don't know, Brandon. I know what I saw out of Will Levis the last couple of seasons in Kentucky. Last year, he was injured and, yeah, different OC, I get it. Different also cast of characters around him because some of those guys graduated and went on to the NFL and from his junior season, and it wasn't the same. Okay, that kind of should give, that kind of gives me a red flag. That right there kind of gives me a red flag, even though he does look the part. That's what all I've been saying, Brandon. You know, like, he might look the part, he might do these freakishly athletic things, but, like, did he have to really stretch for that at 2 or 4? You know what I'm saying? Or make a deal? Who would make a deal? I'm not making no deal for no project for Arizona. Why would I send all my draft picks to Arizona? Doing them a favor.
Yeah, I'm not trading up for Will Levis. Sorry.
Or Anthony Richardson, right? So whatever comes,
right,
whatever falls to them, whatever falls to the coach, they should invest in it for the first year. I'm being honest with you. Invest in it. You don't have to lose your mind. Guess what? The Jets invested in Zach Wilson. Jonathan Birchall's scouting reports from last year was wrong, and Zach Wilson just doesn't have it just yet. I don't know, but you know, they didn't trade him in the Aaron Rodgers trade. But they got to get a quarterback, and if it doesn't work out, just draft another one next year. That's what I'm saying, Brandon, right now. Book that one. Draft a quarterback this year, and if it doesn't work out, draft another one next year.
Okay. Perfect. Well, we will be we'll go live at some point for about 10 minutes or so tomorrow night after the Colts have made their pick, and we'll talk that, recap it. Thank our sponsors, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, Maverick Custom Motorsports, and as well as Wiseman Logistics. John, anything else before we roll?
Man, just I don't know what's going on with your Reds, man. Pittsburgh Pirates, man. I think they're first in the Central right now.
Yeah, Reds just swept the series against the Texas Rangers. Somehow they won 3-3.
We'll see, last week we had Coach Fleck on, you talking bad on him, man.
Yep,
and,
that was.
You know what I'm saying? And now I'm looking down. They didn't find somebody they can beat, man. No, man. It's great to catch up with Danny Bridges. Always downloading with him and all his knowledge about racing. Brandon Reap, you're absolutely right. We'll get Danny back on as the Indianapolis 500. Danny's closer. I think, what is the race day? May 28th. I think that's the official race date, right? So again, we'll have Danny on here real soon. I just want to say thanks. Man, I thought Mike Kelly, I was stalling for time, man. You know what I'm saying? We get Mike Kelly to call back in, man. But, hey, we'll get to Mike Kelly at another time. After all that, man, we had a great, you know what I'm saying, call with D-Kyle as well, man. And, dude, how can we do it all again? We'll try to do it bigger, better, and better than ever next week again. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.